On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some head of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any, but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them, all he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus."
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Good
morning. Thank you, Rachel, for reading scripture this morning.
How are we doing?
How are we doing?
Good.
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 Good to see you.
This morning,
I'm not Andrews.
This morning, to all of us here and to those online, we're going to be talking about the ruler who rules the rest.
The ruler who rules the rest.
I want to start today by asking you a question.
What's the point of rules?
Why have rules?
Are rules a good thing, or are they a bad thing?
Are they a blessing, or are they a burden?
Certainly when you're filling out your income taxes,
they certainly feel like a burden.
But when you're out there driving on the road,
and somebody inevitably cuts you off, and if they haven't done it to you in your driving history, they will eventually.
Somebody cuts you off, and a mile down the road, you see a cop light them up.
We love rules then.
Feel justified.
Our scripture passage today centers around rules.
Who makes them?
Who decides how to follow them?
And what are they for?
Jesus is going to tell us the purpose.
Of God's laws.
And then he's going to show us what happens when we turn them into burdens.
And we do that.
We turn the blessing of Sabbath into a burden.
Let's first start this morning by identifying what Sabbath is. Sabbath was supposed to be one day where people would hang up their shovels, park their plows, and rest from their labor. God gave them Sabbath to remind them that he was taking care of them, that they could stop work for a day and rest because God had them. By not working on the Sabbath, God's people demonstrate that they belong to the Lord and are ultimately sustained by him and not themselves. This pattern of working and resting and working and resting and working and resting was one established all the way back to the time of Moses. In fact, Moses makes a very strong comparison in Scripture, and he likens the Sabbath to redemption from slavery. How many would agree that sometimes work feels like slavery? The Sabbath was all about connection to God. Sabbath wasn't just a gift because it connected them to God, though. It also connected people to one another. This Sabbath command is the fourth command that we find in the Ten Commandments. The first three in the Ten Commandments are really about our relationship with God, how we're to interact with him. The last six in that list are really about how we interact with each other. This Sabbath command, number four, right in this list, it's a bridge And it bridges our relationship with God and with others. It's a gift that helps us commune and get in relationship with God and with others. And lastly, in defining Sabbath, it's supposed to be a temporary time of rest that's an indicator. It's an indicator pointing to a place of future rest that's without sin, without tiredness, without sickness, without death. But they ruined Sabbath. They ruined this gift. Sabbath had become a burden to God's people. What started as a blessing became this list of rules, traditions, and ultimately work rather than rest. The Sabbath became twisted. Folks would find these workarounds to the traditions that they themselves established for the sake of feeling like they were keeping the rules. Let me give you an example. There's a pastor friend of mine who is spending a Saturday in Boston. And he's approached by this Jewish man. And he begs my friend to please come to my home and plug in my fridge. I unplugged it accidentally. Please come plug in my fridge. So my friend's like, okay. This Jewish man couldn't do it, though, because that would be considered work on the Sabbath. So my friend, being the awesome guy that he is, decided to follow this man to go help him out. So they start walking. A mile later, they get to this man's house. And he plugs in the fridge for him. And that was it. But in case you missed it, to recap, walking 2 miles, begging someone to come plug in your fridge was not work. But stooping over and doing it yourself would have been. Is this what the Sabbath has devolved into? That was them. You and I, we ruin Sabbath a different way. We make it a curse by disdaining rest. We hate it. And the reason we hate it is because we equate rest with laziness or weakness or a lack of success. Everyone acts like they have to be busy all the time. You don't believe me? Ask a buddy this afternoon if you can have lunch with them. Guarantee they got something going on. And even when we don't act like rest is weakness, our relationship with rest is messed up. It's messed up. We rest in ways that don't bring us closer to God and don't bring us closer to each other. And really, far too often, our rest more closely resembles restlessness. This idea of Sabbath being a gift that we treat improperly makes me think. I had an example and I changed it. I know this makes a lot of sense because it makes me think of God giving us this wonderful gift. It's like giving a kid an iPhone and then watching him use that iPhone to bash a bunch of blocks or something like that. It's not his fault. He didn't know how to use it, and he ruins the iPhone in doing that. God gives this awesome gift of rest, and we completely miss the point and misuse it. We turn the blessing of Sabbath into a burden, and when we treat God's gifts improperly, when we treat them as burdens, we end up missing out on the blessing. We read from Luke 6 this morning, and I want to talk a little bit about what's going on here. You know, right in the beginning of the passage, we see the Pharisees start complaining. They start complaining about Jesus' disciples picking and rubbing the grain in their hands to get a meal out of it. And Jesus reminds them of a story about David. There was a time where David had just been anointed king by God, but Saul was still king. And he was chasing after David and trying to kill him, trying to harm him. So David and his men, they're on the run. They're on the run, and they got hungry. So they went and ate some of this special bread that was only really supposed to be eaten by the priests in a very specific manner, not by men on the run. But David and his men ate that bread. They ate it. And this is where Jesus kind of sticks it to them. The Pharisees loved King David. They loved King David. They would talk about how they longed for the day when King David would return to the throne and somehow be anointed and exalted again. But so Jesus is comparing himself to David in this story because Jesus is the king. He's the one sent by God to take the throne just like David. And just as David had opponents who tried to keep him from the throne, Jesus has people trying to keep him from the throne, standing in his way. So it's real like Jesus saying to them, look, if you're opposing me and coming after my disciples for eating when they were hungry, even though the way they did it broke some of your rules, then you're the kind of people who would have stood with King Saul and not stood with David. You would have stood against King David, the one who you claim to love. Which really means they were standing in the way of what God, they would have been standing in the way of what God was doing then, and in this story, they're standing in the way of what God is doing now. This would have been a huge slap in the face to the Pharisees. Huge. Jesus is asserting here that he is the true anointed king and the one who rules over the Sabbath. Laws don't do it. They don't rule. Traditions don't rule over the Sabbath. The Pharisees certainly don't. Jesus. Frankly, Jesus himself is the Sabbath. He is that rest. And they fail to realize that. They fail to realize it. By turning the blessing of Sabbath into a burden with all these little side rules, they miss out on the rest that Jesus was offering to them. Talked about how they fail. Let's talk a little bit about how you and I fail. We put rules and expectations on everything as well. We do. You ever hear the story of Mary and Martha? You can raise your hand if you have. You're going to hear it again. The folks who haven't, you're going to hear it for the first time. Let's read Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. You can follow along on the screens. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. Why was Martha so upset? She was too busy turning what she assumed Jesus wanted from her into a set of rules she had to follow. These rules became a barrier keeping her from Jesus. And meanwhile, Mary went after the blessing. Her sister went after the blessing, and she sat down at the feet of Jesus, listening to him and being close to him, being near to him, sitting at his feet. This Christian scholar with a very interesting name writes this quote, "Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living." Why do you do the things that you do? Why do we do the things that we do? Are they living traditions that actually help you draw closer to Jesus and to others? Or are they dead habits that are actually keeping you from growing closer to him and to others? When we treat Sabbath as a burden, in what ways does that keep you from seeing what Jesus is doing right in front of you? Do you ever stop and look around and see what he might be doing in your circle right around you? Again, this Sabbath was a gift. It's a blessing. And we turn God's blessings into burdens when we end up missing out on that blessing. And this is the worst. This is almost worse. you end up keeping others. You can end up keeping others from experiencing that blessing as well. That's the next problem. When you treat God's Sabbath gift as a burden, you can keep others from it. And the second part of that Luke 6 passage, we read that the Pharisees are so focused on their traditions and rules and ensuring that those are kept that they miss the opportunity to be a blessing in the life of this man with the damaged hand. And in reality, probably many more. We have this story, but they probably stood in the way of many people being healed, many people receiving God's blessing and gifts. The burdens of their expectation kept others far from the blessing of the Sabbath. Again, how do we do this? How are we like them in this? Do our Christian preferences, the things that we prefer, get in the way? Do they get in the way? Do they become an excuse to not actually care for people and demonstrate love and compassion? I want to tell you a story, and I'm hoping that you hear it. A buddy of mine who I had the opportunity to connect with again recently, he's a believer. He believes in God. He believes in Jesus. Kind of got away from the church for a little bit. Trying to grow in his relationship with the Lord, trying to grow and get community around him so that he can be strengthened and built up and have that brotherhood that we're supposed to have, that family we're supposed to have. And he finds out about this young adults event. He's a young adult. He finds out about this event, and he's like, well, this might be a good opportunity for me. And he's telling me this a couple weeks ago. And he goes. He's like, all right, the event's at 7. I have an obligation at 8:30, so I'll go, and if I have to leave, I'll leave. But at least I'll get, you know, a good message, and you know, I'll leave when I have to. Good plan. But again, he gave his word that he'd be someplace at 8:30, so, and how many people know it's good to give your word? Because the Bible says, many a man proclaimeth his undying love for me, but a faithful man who can find. Being faithful, keeping your word is a good thing. It's a good thing. So he goes to this event, and we've had young adults events here. It's not just always a message. It may not even be a message. There may be a time of gathering, a time of food, a time of meeting new people and having conversation and building relationship. All good stuff. But when he got there at 7 o'clock, that's what it was. It wasn't quite the message he was expecting. So fast forward, they're about to start the message right around 8 o'clock. And so while everyone's coming to their seat, coming to their pew, he's got to go. So he makes a line to the door. And this is the part that bothers me. The person that was hosting the event, the leader that was hosting the event, caught him on the way out and said, oh, where are you going? And he said, oh, you know, I have an obligation at 8:30. You know, I got to split. And she's like, yeah, but we're just getting started. It's just beginning. And he's like, yeah, I know, I don't want to go, but I gave my word I'd be elsewhere. The response from her was, well, whatever's more important to you. My friend was understandably discouraged and put off by this. She chose burden over blessing. Are we so caught up doing what we think we should be doing that we completely miss the boat? That we miss it? Many of you know, and those who don't are going to learn now, I ride the motorcycle club. I ride in Seat of Abraham Motorcycle Club, and I got to tell you, a lot of things that go on in biker culture wouldn't be welcomed in a church on Sunday morning. Wouldn't be welcomed in a church, period. And our role in those settings when we're on in this culture is not to go around slapping beers out of people's hands, telling them they can't speed, telling them they can't curse, get tattoos. It's not the role. If I were to do that, if we were to do that, we'd be heaping further burden, and hear me, further burden on somebody who already is otherwise thinking that if they walked into a church on Sunday, they would burn. How many of you ever heard a family member, loved one, friend, acquaintance ever say that phrase? If I walk into a church on Sunday, I'll burn. Burden. In the book of Matthew, Jesus once accused the Pharisees of hanging heavy burdens right around people's necks. You can imagine what that feels like. Are you and I placing burden instead of building bridges? Are we bringing burden rather than bringing blessing? Are we completely missing what Jesus wants to do around us because we're so caught up with tradition and rules and completely lacking in compassion? You and I have to make decisions and choices every moment, every day, to choose a blessing or to choose a burden. So how do we embrace this Sabbath? How do we embrace it? How do we embrace this rest as a blessing, not a burden? What should Sabbath look like? Knowing this, what should Sabbath look like? And I got to share a quote with you from something I read in preparation for this message. And for those of you who are friends with me on Facebook, you would have seen a teaser of it. But I hope that if you hear nothing else this morning, that this hits you, that it resonates with you. It's from a man named Scott Hubbard. The world and the devil would have us work even while we rest. But Jesus would have us rest even while we work. And it's here, in this Christ-saturated resting and working, that we live out the Sabbath today. Listen, you can strictly and religiously observe a Sabbath and still miss out on the rest that Jesus is offering. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Because of that, I'm going to say it again. You can strictly and religiously observe a Sabbath. You can do it and still miss out on the rest Christ offers. Others of you need to hear that Jesus' rest isn't only about one day of the week. It's something we're invited to live in, to live in his rest. He calls everyone who longs for rest, and let's be real, that's everybody. He calls everyone who longs for rest to come to him and find it. And the next invitation is to join him in this work, to be ambassadors of this rest, to partner with him and bringing this rest, to be part of it. The rest Jesus has given us brings us close to God and close to others in many, many ways, ways that are loving, ways that are caring. And that's really always been the design for Sabbath, for this blessing, for this gift. But you need to hear that with Jesus, in Christ, with Jesus, that blessing and that rest isn't limited to one day. It's every day. It's every day.